I appreciate the opportunity to be here to talk with you about a specific application of community-based participatory research. Keep that short, I'll say CBPR from now on, as it applied to the multimedia adaptation of HIV prevention intervention for women in the criminal justice system. I want to acknowledge my co-authors, particularly Nabila Albasil at Columbia University, who was my mentor in my doctoral program and who was a principal investigator of this study. And they're probably happy that I'm presenting it and not them, because I'm not sure that they would be getting home anytime too soon. I'm only in Chicago, so. No disclosures. So let's begin. I want to begin by highlighting the importance of targeted interventions for this population, women in the criminal justice system. We've already heard some about a couple of the overlapping contexts here, New York City in particular, and women. And it's well documented that the U.S. criminal justice system is an epicenter of the AIDS epidemic in the U.S., but most of the attention, research attention at least in this area, has been paid to men in the criminal justice system, which is great. Men make up about 85% of the criminal justice system. But women are the fastest growing segment of the criminal justice population. And HIV prevalence studies in prisons and jails have shown that incarcerated women, broken down by race and ethnic groupings, have higher HIV prevalence than their male counterparts who are also incarcerated. So even though it's an important issue for incarcerated men, it's even more, the HIV prevalence is more extreme for incarcerated women. Criminal justice-involved women also display a complex interplay of factors that place them at risk for HIV infection, including drug use, sex work, susceptibility to intimate partner violence, and financial insecurities, just to name a few. And in my own research, I found that criminal justice involvement is both tangled with drug use in terms of driving HIV sexual risk behaviors, but that it's also an independent risk factor correlated with different levels of sexual risk behaviors. And I'll say, unlike most presentations I have, I don't have any p-values or statistics. So I should have said that at the beginning, just wanted to talk about this process and hopefully get you a little bit excited about CBPR in this context. So despite these challenges for women in the criminal justice system, there's been very little done by way of culturally tailored HIV interventions targeting this population. The few interventions that do exist focus primarily on prison settings, which again is great. But if you look at criminal justice statistics, you'll see that unlike sort of the shows like Oz and The Wire and all of these, that actually the bulk of the criminal justice population is in the community. This is particularly true for women. 85% of criminal justice-involved women are in the community, not currently incarcerated. And so there has not been much research focused on community-located criminal justice populations. And despite recent evidence that multimedia technologies can improve the delivery and uptake of HIV prevention interventions, to our knowledge, there have been no multimedia interventions developed specifically for this population. So this is another interest of mine, trying to move away from just paper and pencil, sort of the old school prevention interventions where we have a flip chart, right, and handouts and role plays, but trying to move towards more adaptive technologies. To our knowledge, there isn't any such study focused on women in the criminal justice system. If you know of one, I would love to hear it. I already have my PhD, so that wouldn't have messed up my dissertation too badly. So HIV interventions targeting criminal justice-involved women stand to benefit greatly from CBPR approaches. The importance of research and community partnerships in HIV prevention is particularly relevant when we're considering vulnerable and oppressed populations. And you can imagine that women who are in the criminal justice system are certainly a population who would experience different levels of oppression. They're disproportionately women of color. They bear multiple vulnerabilities and stigma, and their voice has not often been present in the scientific discourse. So the benefits of CBPR are many, including creating connections to the community, lending authenticity and relevance to intervention efforts, and developing what some have called indigenous knowledge, so trying to cultivate a knowledge specific to the target population and make that part of intervention. So this brings us to Project WORTH, which is the study that I'll talk about in terms of its adaptation. WORTH stands for Women on the Road to Health. It's a gender-specific, group-based HIV prevention intervention targeting women. It's been tested and shown to be effective at reducing sexual risk behaviors and increasing condom use among women in two separate studies. One was women inmates at Rikers Island Correctional Facility in New York City. That was nearly 20 years ago. And among women in a multi-site NIDA clinical trials, a CTN network study, women in drug treatment across 13 different sites, shown to be effective. So the current study is multimedia WORTH, and this is a NIDA-funded randomized controlled trial involving a sample of 337, we have that exact number because our recruitment is now closed, criminal justice involved and drug involved women who are currently in the community. So they're typically on probation or in an alternative to incarceration program. The unique part of the study is that the five-year study began with a one-year period of computer-based multimedia adaptation of the paper and pencil version of Project WORTH. So this was, for me, I was in my doctoral program at the time. It was really much more exciting than running data and doing literature reviews because we actually got to have creative meetings and we would take each activity. It's a four-session intervention. Each session is 2 hours, so there's many activities. We would take every paper and pencil activity and sort of think through how could we use computer-based formats. And the intervention was set up a group of anywhere between 4 and 9 women. Each would have a laptop in front of them, but most of the intervention happens on a projection screen or a smart board that you can interact with. You can tabulate individual responses, say to quizzes or activities, and put them on the board. The women can also do individualized activities on their laptop. I don't want to say anything more about that. Okay, so this adaptation was a unique opportunity to implement CBPR. And our interest was really to maximize these methods in order to improve the multimedia adaptation itself, while also utilizing the opportunity to develop indigenous knowledge regarding criminal justice-involved women. So we were particularly interested in better understanding how these women who were in the community, because we had already done this, or my mentor had already done this with people in a jail setting, but understanding the unique context faced by women who were in the community having to navigate between the criminal justice system, various levels of mandated services like drug treatment, seeking work, having to deal with children, and having more access and opportunities around sexual and drug risk behaviors. Through formal and informal networks, we identified and approached women who at some point in their history would have met the criteria for Project WORTH. So loosely, the criteria are having criminal justice involvement, having some history of drug use. This is our loose criteria for these women, the consultants that we engaged, and having some history of sexual risk behaviors. 8 women agreed to serve as consultants who met with the intervention development team on 10 occasions over a 4-month period. And the community consultants were paid $50 for attending each meeting. These were 2-hour meetings. And the meetings were staggered with the multimedia development sessions. So we would have usually a multimedia development session, then maybe in a week we would have a community consultants group. So this created an iterative process by which the consultant group had significant input into the computer-based format. And we were very clear from the start that these women were not research subjects. We called them consultants so I don't even really use the term recruitment. We engaged them, we talked to them, asked them if they would be willing to serve as consultants. We paid them as we would consultants versus research subjects. We wouldn't pay women who were currently in the criminal justice system and coming in for an intervention session $50 to attend a session because, honestly, I think that would border on coercive for many women who are in the criminal justice system. So we talked with them as consultants. We said we really wanted to hear their input. This is an important point of distinction. So there are numerous ways in which the community consultants improve the WORTH intervention, and I'm going to highlight just a few examples. I would love to I've tried to talk about this intervention a couple times at various places, and even when they tell me we have internet access in the building, and so I get all ready to show different parts of the intervention, it's never worked at a conference. And so I've basically just done some screenshots, and at the end there's a link to a website where you can see the intervention itself, at least some of the components. So to make the computer-based format engaging, we decided to create four avatars. They're probably sort of hard to see, but they're these four women. Oh, I don't have a pointer. Four women on the screen on the left. And basically, these women are recurring characters in videos and in different intervention activities. And the community consultants basically helped us to construct the life stories of these four avatars, much of which we actually took from their own lives or women like them that they knew. Our goal was to try to have women in the intervention be able to identify with at least one woman in the study. We talked through every activity that we developed, and one of the key things that we talked with this group of consultants about was, do you have any potential concerns about whether this multimedia tool would actually isolate women as opposed to engaging them? So we sort of sorted through what activities do you think should be grouped, you know, on the screen, what should be done on individualized on the laptop. So they worked through each of those processes with us. One of the activities was a trigger activity where we were trying to help women identify people, places, things, and emotions that might trigger sexual risk. Our initial draft of this, the women thought this really, it's not easy for the women to remember. You're not really using the multimedia. So this is a screenshot on the right. They basically helped us to come up with sort of pictures representing the four domains. And then as the women would type in, give names to these risk factors, they would show up in those boxes. And then we would sort of put them together in sort of a flow chart or an equation. And then if the women chose to, they could show their equation on the screen, and that would give them a framework to tell their story about how these people, places, things, and emotions work together to drive risk for them. So the community consultant process also revealed many aspects of indigenous knowledge. As I mentioned, the multiple stressors that women face. One key that we really found that the women would struggle with was because they're mandated to so many types of services, how to approach service engagement with them in a positive way that they're initiating service engagement for various kinds of services that they needed. We also heard a lot about having a criminal justice involved partner, and our research has shown that having criminal justice involvement yourself usually correlates with having a higher likelihood of having a partner who's also in that system, coming in and out of the system, how that drives drug use, shared drug use, sexual risk behaviors. Issues of intimate partner violence came up, which is sadly not a surprise with this group. Thinking about how to approach empowerment, again with a group that has typically been disempowered, and also how to describe safer sex behaviors as sexy and sex positive, and not having it be sort of a, you know, you need to protect yourself, and sort of not just a downer. We came up with lots of fun activities, which if we had more time, I would tell you about. Here's a quick example of a social support map on the top right. We developed this map to help women sort of point, put characters, people in their life who are more or less supportive in terms of the proximity to them as an individual. Then they classify what types of support, financial support, emotional support. And as we went through this activity with the consultants, they said we really needed to be thinking about risk networks as well. And so we came up with a risk network, looks just the same. They highlight different types of risk, drug use risk, criminal justice involvement risk, sexual risk behaviors. And then it really gave us a great tool to talk, because for many of the women, some of the same people were on both maps. That really helped us in terms of setting goals with them, thinking about how to lessen risk and increase support. The last thing I'll show you is a couple examples of how this indigenous knowledge created different videos. We made a variety of videos for the intervention. One was on negotiating safer sex. And when we wrote a script for this, you know, we actually hired a screenwriter and they wrote out the script, and we thought it was really great, and we took it to this group of women, and as we were reading through it, sort of a subgroup of them, started saying, wait, 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 no. And they started to role play it and bounce off each other. And we recorded these sessions, so we went back and were listening to what they said. And so we took it back to the drawing board and rewrote the whole thing, went through this process a couple times, and actually ended up with a product that I won't fully take the time to show you. I'll give you like a 5-second trailer of it. But the slides are online, so you can access that. That's a little long, but that's just to show you two of the characters. When we took this back to the group before we actually started the intervention and showed them this video, as they heard some of the words that they had actually used, oh, they also said that the woman was really coming off as bitchy, that she was not sort of selling this in a sex-positive way that was sort of engaging her partner. So you can watch that later and determine whether we got her less bitchy. And then the second activity was an avatar named Yvette, and we talked about the concept of self-talk and negative self-talk and how that often drives our thinking around sexual risk behaviors. And we brought in some of the indigenous knowledge as far as having a sexual partner who is currently in the criminal justice system. So this one's only a minute long, and I'll show it.
Father, which is in prison? I have found a containment plan, but I didn't get a hair. But Saturday, he came home, we did conversations on sex. He asked me to be back. I realized how hard it was actually to be. When he was sober, he said he was cool with his house, but at night, when he'd been drinking, and was a little messed up, he said he didn't want to leave. And he was trying to get me out of that job. He said that if I really loved him, and then that voice started popping in my head saying, oh, Amy, you can't keep going on like that. You've got to do what you want, because if you don't, you're going to find some other girl who will. And where will you be? Your choice is the end. You need it. So then I tell myself, well, I might as well do what he said. Because I'm too weak to say no. I've done it before, so, you know, eventually I'll do it.
So hopefully you heard in there a little bit about self-talk, and then also some of the unique aspects of women having a sexual partner who's incarcerated. So in conclusion, this application of CBPR principles we felt gave us multiple opportunities to enhance the content delivery and impact of multimedia worth. We've consistently heard from women in the multimedia arm of the study that they find the exercises, the activities really engaging. We actually often have to tell the women that these are actresses, that they're not real women, but they often find that they can relate to them. The community consultants being involved in this has really gotten them engaged. One of the consultants ended up being a recruiter, was hired by our study, was our hands down our best recruiter for the study because she actually helped to make it, and she has criminal justice history herself, and so she blew our other recruiters away. Two of the consultants were on our community advisory board and still serve on that board. In closing, I would say as interventions move more towards a multimedia delivery system, there are numerous opportunities for these interventions to gain relevance and impact by involving representatives from target populations. There's opportunities if we look for them. In this way, HIV prevention research can better achieve its aim to more profoundly impact populations that are vulnerable to this disease. And thank you to NIDA for supporting the study. And there's a link with some more information about multimedia worth if you're interested. Thank you.